Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com. What broke him down? Was it just a body punch? I was hitting him with body punch, and I heard him actually, he was crying in there. You're saying that Big was crying when you hit him?
Yes.
When did that happen? And perhaps the fourth round on.
BoxingVoice.com.
So you knew you had him by that
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely, but I knew you were cuffing and taking those punches. DBLC Productions.
Making woman gestures like,
Let's go, champ. It's the champ. He's sharing the champ with the fake champ.
It's the champ, baby, the Boxing Podcast Champs here, TBV. We are back with another TBV in the morning for you. A lot of breaking news broke today and over the night while everybody was tucked away sleeping. WBA orders King Kong Luis Ortiz to face the winner of Anthony Joshua versus Vladimir Klitschko. We're going to give you all those details. Does this one happen? This is definitely twist in the events. So if this is something you're interested in, something that you want to partake in, remember that number is 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 if you want to speak to the host. And for my international callers, UK, you with me? We're here early for you, baby. Add Nesta Gibbs on Skype so that you can voice your opinion here on the Voice of the People hotline. So what we're going to do is definitely head on over to the Sunshine State.
Boxing, everything was going on, brother. I know you want to sit in on this. We're going to head on over to the Sunshine State.
Boxing MD, what's going on?
Is that a fair statement to make? You have to be honest with yourself.
We are back again with more WBA news because the WBA seems to be consolidating all of their belts, and Luis Ortiz owns the interim WBA heavyweight belt, along with the WBA intercontinental belt, which he won off Malik Scott. So, you know, I think after the Klitschko-Joshua fight, let's just say hypothetically AJ wins, I think that AJ will for now on be fighting in front of 80,000. So this is another big fight.
Well, you said it. In front of 80,000, and most are saying this one's going to fill up 90 with Klitschko, but if AJ wins, if Vladimir wins, wouldn't they just make a rematch and fight in front of 90 again versus the same guy instead of facing the 38-year-old dangerous King Kong, the dark horse of the heavyweight division, the guy everyone claims to have so much power?
That's obviously a potential. I think if Klitschko gets knocked out, hypothetically, I think that'll be it for him considering his age. And I think if Klitschko beats AJ, no matter how, there'll be a rematch. So you're right that there's a high potential for a rematch in that fight. But Eddie Hearn is smart by getting, like I said, one of the more dangerous, if not to some people, the most dangerous non-legitimate title holding heavyweight on earth, right? Because he controls him.
I mean, that is the word on the curb, that he is the most dangerous heavyweight. But as of his last two performances,
I said that does not hold. It's a legitimate title.
Exactly. Because his last two performances did not show that. They showed us otherwise. I don't know how many people are still high on Luis Ortiz. I'm sure, like everyone, right? They're going to be excited to see him get his shot, you know, because it's a mandatory, and it's a mandatory versus either or guy is a big name in Vladimir and Joshua. I'm just not 100% sure that the fight happens. Ortiz still doesn't present the type of payday that a Joshua or a Klitschko would be seeking at this point. There's also reports of Eddie Hearn stating that he's looking to unify the title if Joshua beats Vladimir Klitschko with Deontay Wilder, but they're saying like early 2018, I've seen some of the quotes. So I don't know if Luis Ortiz is going to be in the plans. And being as though Eddie Hearns basically owns the paper with the signature of Luis Ortiz on it, I guess he could always just give him some step-aside money.
Well, and it's also interesting to note, you know, we've talked about this again, but to bring this up, that Luis Ortiz faced David Allen on the undercard of the last Klitschko pay-per-view card.
He sure did. And David Allen, you know, is a guy that he – I mean, he's 9-2-1, okay? I don't understand how Allen has gotten the shots that he's gotten. He's a very novice fighter. But he obviously held his own with Luis Ortiz, which is kind of what has me a little worried about Ortiz. I like that Matchroom has him busy, and the activity is obviously going to do him some justice. But to see him in there with David Allen and David Allen drop his hands and toy with him and you know, just patronize Luis Ortiz. Yes, Luis Ortiz ultimately got the stoppage, but I don't know. Did you like what you saw?
I mean, I don't think Luis Ortiz is necessarily the showman that we expect from some heavyweights, but I still rate him very high because even in his last two fights where he underwhelmed a lot of people's expectations, including myself, I still think that he still proves that he belongs up in the upper echelon of the heavyweight division and can be competitive with these two guys fighting in front of 80 plus 90,000 people in April. So I still think he's a legitimate opponent for any heavyweight. Maybe he has fallen from grace to an extent, but I still rate him very highly.
No, I mean, as do I. Obviously, you know, every night isn't going to be your best night, and he still got the stoppage with Allen. But I think that the level of danger has dropped for some, to some degree, at the very least. I'm pretty sure Joshua and the Wilders and even the Tyson Furies of the world are saying, oh, is that it?
I really, to be honest, Ness, I doubt they're saying that. That's my opinion.
Yeah, with David Allen,
I think,
who has a total of maybe 12 fights, if he could put his hands down, listen, I'm not talking about putting his hands down out of you know, loss of stamina. He was toying, not toying, because obviously he wasn't winning, but he was very confident. You that didn't bother you, the amount of confidence that Allen had with Ortiz, and the fact that Ortiz couldn't cut the ring off. He couldn't really catch up to Allen. What would he do with a guy that has that basic agility that Allen had, but with a decent punch of a Wilder or a Joshua or a Klitschko or fucking Parker or even Andy Ruiz? Come on, man. Yo, he was following Allen around without doing anything.
You would pick Andy Ruiz over Luis Ortiz right now?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you know, somebody with some movement and combination punches is going to give this guy real problems based off that Allen fight. Now, I know, look, I could be overthinking it and being overly critical, and some people would say, Ness, you know how it is. He couldn't get up for Allen. Allen, like you said, Allen was 11-0 or 12-0 at the time. So, you know, we got that version of Ortiz because it was a David Allen across the ring from him. That could be true, right?
I'm sorry. Say that one more time. I apologize.
I'm just saying that maybe some will say that Ortiz couldn't get up for the Allen fight and that we shouldn't be so critical. Well,
I mean, we have to remember the context in which he fought again, which he just fought a little bit before that, like less than a month before that. So I don't know, like – listen, it wasn't the most impressive performance. I think he displayed skill. I know the opponent wasn't the best, but I just think that you're being a little too harsh with Luis Ortiz. Just because, and I understand where you're coming from, because people were hyping him up as the best heavyweight on earth, let alone not the best heavyweight that doesn't have a strap.
At least the most dangerous. And when you think someone's dangerous, you think of the way that Gennady Golovkin cuts the ring off and doesn't let his prey escape. King Kong is doing something different. At the end, they're both resulting in knockout. Like I said, maybe I'm overthinking it. I do want to play some of the audio. Credit to Fight News that did the interview with Gilberto Mendoza, the president of the WBA, who actually, you know, broke news when he said this. So here you go.
Sorry, let me go back to my decision. Decision is the following. Joshua will fight Klitschko. The winner will have to face Ortiz. That's on that side. That's where we're working on that side.
So Ortiz doesn't have any belt right now, right?
Yeah, no. He relinquished at the end. You know, we heard his side. They were involved in a purse bid. They signed a purse bid. And they signed a contract with first bid, but he went on and did a different fight. There was an issue, pending issue regarding the anti-doping in Russia. You know, they didn't agree on which lab was going to do it. It was going to be BADA or USADA, whatever. They didn't agree on it. He went on the fight. We sent him letters that he couldn't do it without the permit. Then he asked for the permit, and the outcome was he decided to relinquish. You know, and we decided to give him a chance to the winner because I think he's legitimate to fight with it. While the situation stretched up, you know, when Kendo had to fight, Brownie had to fight Briggs. Now Brownie's out. Now it's Briggs, Ustinov, and Okendo. So we're trying to solve who goes first. But whoever is left out of the formula will be the mandatory for that one. Mm-hmm. Then they will clear out. I have to set deadlines between the winner of Joshua, Klitschko, and Ortiz. So it's going to take the heavyweight division. It's going to take a little bit more time than I expected to be cleaned out. And it might be unpopular, but, you know, that's the way boxers are leaving. You know? And the other side, they got Wilder. And, you know, IBA, NBA will be, you know, already well, look what's happening with the BC now.
Well, there you have it. The president, Gilberto Mendoza, he's trying to consolidate his titles, MD. He's saying that his whole reasoning behind it is, obviously, he took into account his peers and his colleagues, but the comments from the public that they wanted one champion. So he felt that his organization needed to do their part by consolidating their titles. But he still says that, it remains on everyone because now there's going to be his title and three others, which we know, IBF, WBC, WBO, and his, the WBA. It's funny that the more research you do on these sanctioning bodies, they all seem to be father sons. You know, the son is the successor of the former president, which is the father. It's kind of weird. But that being said, he is going to mandate there is no actual date yet, but we do know that Luis Ortiz is next in line for the winner of Joshua Klitschko. And then Fres Okendo, I'm assuming, who used to fight at Cruiser, must have moved up, unless there's another Okendo out there that I don't know of, and will be Ortiz's mandatory or the winner of the Ortiz-Joshua Klitschko winner fight. So a nice little web, but at least they're relinquishing a few versions because, remember, they had the interim WBA and they had the regular WBA and then the super WBA. So they had a lot of mess going on over there. But, you know, no different really than WBC, who have the WBC and then the silver WBC, and then they have, like, intercontinental WBCs and stuff like that. They have their own little regional titles. But I guess all of them do, too, because of the NABF and NABO is just so much.
Let me ask you a question. Like, so who's listen, the organizations will have as many belts as they want to, because obviously, well, I know what they're saying they're doing, but in general, they've had two or three belts, and it gives the guy room or the permission to an extent to call himself a world champion. So do you think that it's irresponsible when networks refer to them as the world champion? Like when Max Kellerman calls Danny, or not Max Kellerman, who's that guy? What the fuck is his name? Sean, you know, the guy who looks like a Joe Rogan wannabe on Spike TV. What the hell is his name? Oh my God. Maybe someone in the chat could help me out with that. But when he calls him champ or world champ, because they're essentially lying to the public because of all these belts, because world champion is a singular word, right? If you're a world champion, you are the champion of the world, at least for that belt. So I don't know. Like, I feel like it's the networks benefit off that, but then at the same time, they're being dishonest to the public. So it's just, this is boxing, and this adds to the
way that the networks benefit is because it gives the fight fan a way.
And I'm sorry. His name is Jimmy Smith Ness. That's who he is. Okay. The bald guy who works with you. Yeah.
It gives the fight fan a way to, socialize with the champion. Maybe it's easier for you to remember a champion than it is to remember all the fighters in the division. So, you know, it's I think that's why they do it. It's sexier for the casual listener and watcher when you say champion. But I think that this deserved a little bit of boxing talk because we need all these sanctioning bodies to do their due diligence to enforce the right fights to happen. And with that, the fans are the ones that win because Luis Ortiz versus any guy, win or lose, even if which I feel is a possibility, I feel Eddie Hearns can pay Luis Ortiz step aside money and say, hey, you know, if Joshua wins, right, say, hey, you know, take this check and let's get you a fight with Vladimir Klitschko before to build it up so that your fight with Joshua down the line is even bigger because right now nobody knows you. And he would not be lying. He would not be lying to Luis Ortiz if he could finagle that. Listen, we're going to go out to these calls. I want you guys to hit that thumbs up button telling us that you appreciate this TBV in the morning show. We're talking Vladimir Klitschko versus Anthony Joshua. The winner is going to have to face Luis Ortiz per the WBA orders of the president, Gilberto Mendoza. We're going to go out to these phone lines here. We got 407 in the state of Boxing MD. Talk to me. Who's this?
What's going on, man? It's Jay from Orlando.
Jay, what's going on, brother?
What's up, Jay?
Not much, man. One thing is, you guys, hey, what's going on, Boxing MD? Hey, if you guys can just clarify this, because I'm just kind of wondering how this works. Did he lose the belt when he decided to go with Golden Boy and all that stuff like that?
I mean, I'm glad you brought it up because I don't know how the audio sounded, but he definitely cleared it up himself, Gilberto Mendoza, the president of WBA. On that audio, he said that Luis Ortiz relinquished his title when he was in negotiations. What was the Russian's name he was in negotiations with, MD? Ustinov? Am I right? Am I wrong?
He's the guy that promotes Povetkin, right?
No. Luis Ortiz had a mandatory with someone.
Oh, yeah.
Oof. Well, the point is, he ended up not having the fight because they could not agree on which testing facility was going to do the testing for the drug testing. Was it going to be VADA or USADA? So because they could not agree, Luis Ortiz withdrew his title, so he didn't have to have that mandatory fight. So then Gilberto Mendoza on this interview just said, because he seen that Lewis went through all that, he felt Lewis still deserved the shot and is a good candidate for an opportunity at one of the champions. So he's giving him the opportunity.
All right. My only thing with that is, let's say, for instance, if I'm number two, which is the same thing that just happened with the whole Anthony.
Remember, he also mentioned on the, you're going to have to go back to the tape. He also mentioned that this is happening because Lucas Brown tested positive. And remember that this is Lucas Brown's second time now testing positive. The first time Lucas Brown tested positive, he took the WBA to court, and the WBA, instead of going to trial, settled. Paid Lucas Brown an undisclosed amount of money, but you could probably find it on the internet. And then Lucas got back ranked, and now he tested positive again. So because he no longer is in the rankings, that's what makes King Kong Ortiz move up in the rankings. So they're not just ditching anyone.
Okay. All right, Nicole. No, I'm cool with that. Then going on to the fight, that he definitely deserves it, and with everything that you just explained. Going on to the fight, I believe Anthony Joshua is going to just come out the winner of it. King Kong hasn't looked as sparkling as he did before. He hasn't looked as good as he did before. And two, you know, like you guys have said on previous shows, there's been plenty of Cuban fighters that have gone out there and they said he's way older than 36 years old. And as time goes on and on, he's just going to get older. So I just see Anthony Joshua beating Klitschko, and I see him also beating King Kong whenever that time comes.
And do you see like the – like, see, here's my thing, and this is what I said earlier, that let's just say for argument's sake that Anthony Joshua knocks out Klitschko in the biggest fight of next year, right? Do you think that someone like Luis Ortiz, who even though he's lost luster, is still a name and he's been on undercards, and the UK boxing fans who are educated know that Luis Ortiz is a legitimate opponent. He's not Charles Martin, right? He's not Charles Martin. Let's keep that real. Do you think that they could put it again in front of an outdoor stadium of 80,000 or 90,000?
They could attempt. I mean, listen, George Groves was not that popular, but he is home. He was homebred, at least.
Well, like, I think it was the rematch. No, the rematch was the outdoor stadium. I think the first one was in a smaller venue, but obviously a huge venue. The rematch was the big one because the first one was such a controversial and excellent fight, right?
It's really going to depend on what Ortiz does in between. You know, while Joshua, I mean, we're talking 4 months from now, April 29th, I believe, is the date for the Joshua Klitschko fight. So Ortiz has to do a lot. He almost has 5 months. We're talking 4.5 months, maybe a little less than that, a week and 4 months. He needs to solidify himself a nice fight, not just a Malik Scott type of name, David Allen type of name, something a little sexier than that. You know,
what about Dillian White?
He need a Dillian White. To definitely put his name in the UK this way.
He beat Chisora in a fun fight.
Listen, if you can get Dillian White, you can capitalize off of his fandom, and then it's a little sexier for Joshua to do that in the stadium if that did happen. You know, that is a good. Well, either that or David Haye would be a bigger name too for Luis Ortiz to really.
That's true. You know.
But David Haye would. He's gonna need a title on the line. He's not gonna get in there with
David A. has a tough fight coming up, you know, against a shocking.
Yeah, he's going against Tony Bellew, man.
I'm joking.
Next thing you know, we got Luis Ortiz versus Bellew if he knocks out. Hey,
yeah, and the other guy. I mean, and I know this is like a troll. It's not a troll anymore because he trolled his way into getting a shot at a piece of the heavyweight, you know, championship picture.
Briggs.
Yeah, don't shake your head like that. He got his fights canceled because of the guy he was supposed to fight. Brown tested positive for a PED.
If you're talking about him because he resides in Florida now or what? But like, dude, whenever
he got a shot at a belt, and Ness, bottom line is he got a shot at a piece of the heavyweight championship. Picture the guy who he one second the guy who he was supposed to fight tested positive for steroids. Now I think talking about him getting a shot at some other entity of a belt is not obscene because of that's all I'm saying.
You know, give Shannon Briggs Big Baby Miller, let him earn that title shot. Let's go back out to these phone lines. We're going to Joey Cuevas. Talk to me.
Yo, what's up, Ness? Hey, man, I love this idea, man. It feels good that the heavyweight division's got some momentum rolling, man. You know, this is what I thought that was going to happen with that 147 division. I know we got Garcia Thurman coming, but it seems like the headlines now are just all about the heavyweights, and that's a good thing for boxing, man. But I don't care who you put in there with Joshua right now. He's going to sell out anything, man. And I think it'd be a competitive fight. And as for Luis Ortiz, I don't think he's losing it, Ness, or slowing down. I just think he's not getting up for the opponent, man. And he maybe just want to get some extended rounds instead of knocking boys out in, you know, five or less rounds. Maybe he's just trying to get in some work and stay active. So, but either way, man, I love what's going on in the heavyweight division, and I think it'll be a big, big fight, man, for real. And Anthony Joshua is just getting bigger by the day. Before you know it, he's going to be the face, man, of boxing.
I agree. Joey, I agree. I agree.
Go ahead.
I agree to an extent, getting rounds. But I think with someone like Luis Ortiz, who has power, who wants to probably get a knockout, I think at least in that Malik Scott fight, that he would like at least one last round, if you know what I mean. I think he would want that stoppage in that fight. It didn't come, but I think that he would be more satisfied with his performance if he stopped a guy who's been stopped before, especially against someone like Wilder, although, you know, it's a different circumstance.
I think Joey's right. I mean, AJ versus those other guys sold out in minutes. AJ versus Luis Ortiz. But I like your scenario too, Eddie Hearn. If you're listening, give MD some credit when you make Dillian Whyte versus Luis Ortiz. To give Luis Ortiz a little bit of name value there. 718, you're up. Who's this?
Hello?
718, TBV in the morning. Talk to me. Who's this?
Yes, hello, hello. This is Suleiman. Hold on.
Suleiman, what's going on, brother?
Yeah, hello. Yeah, how you doing? How you doing? Yeah, man. I think they've been too harsh on Luis Ortiz. He's undefeated also. I mean, he's in the same league as Anthony Joshua. If anything, he was an ex-champion too. He relinquished the belt. So, I mean, it's a promise that they got to negotiate people that want to fight him, you know? Everybody's going for the money with AJ, you know, AJ's, the fighters that are fighting AJ are fighting for a world championship and they get paid much more, but he's in the same caliber, he's in the same league, you know what I'm saying? The same quality of fighter. All they got to do is get guys like Shannon Briggs, the guys that want to fight, they want to go in the ring with them, that are not scared, they're going to make it competitive and then put them for a world title fight against one of these other champions. I mean, right now the heavyweight division is very hot. It's a must-watch division, and the people, I noticed that the heavyweights are more satisfied because they're getting paid much better. There's no suffering drive about their purses, so they're giving a better fight. You know what I'm saying? So
it's more attractive to the casuals. So obviously the financial reward is higher, just because, you know, it's more, like I have said this before in previous shows, it's more impressive seeing two guys, especially if they have good physiques. And I know that seems, not that substantial, but when someone looks like Klitschko, AJ, or even Luis Ortiz, like you see them as physically imposing, or Wilder, you see them as a physically imposing human beings who the average person knows would fuck them up. When you see someone smaller like Roman Gonzalez, although he's very talented, you have some guys who are just like, man, why are these midgets fighting? Like, I could put them in my pocket. Some people do feel that way.
Right, you're right. You're right about that, man. At the end of the day, size matters. At the end of the day, size matters. Those little guys in a realistic situation, I mean, even though they're world-class athletes, they're not going to have the same imposing size advantage of a heavyweight. So a good, trained, qualified, world-class heavyweight is going to get more exposure. It's going to get more traction than any small-class fighter, unfortunately. That's how it is. And you guys have a great day. Thanks very much.
Suleiman, thank you for calling in, man. We're going to go out to Washington, D.C. 202. Marcus, talk to me. Guess not. 202, you live? Nine, you're up.
Yeah, yo, Too Tough. What up, Ness? What up, MV? Yo. Yeah, that's good. I've seen a interview on, I think it was Fight News or Fight Hype or whatever, with Mendoza, and he was explaining what's going to happen with Briggs. He said that they're not sure yet, but either Okondo or Usyk is going to be Briggs' opponent for the other part. But he explained it. He said that, you know, Klitschko going to fight AJ, the winner going to fight Ortiz, and then Briggs is going to fight either the Okondo or Usyk, whoever they choose, and then the winner is going to fight the other person. So basically, if Briggs has to fight Okondo, then the winner has to fight Ustinov, and then that winner has to fight the Ortiz, AJ, Klitschko side. So, that's kind of good. It kind of messes up Wilder's plan on unifying the title with AJ soon, because if he has all of these other fights that he's going to have to fight ahead of time, I don't know if we're going to see Wilder versus AJ by the end of 2017. But it's supposedly Mendoza's plan to clean up the belt. I still don't like, you know, once Tyson Fury vacated, that was the WBA's prime time to not have all those belts. Ortiz was dropped from the interim because he didn't fight Ustinov. That was good. Fury got dropped from the super title when he vacated. And there was no world title because Lucas Brown got his belt taken.
But yeah, but let's keep it real. The WBA, they hoard themselves to stretch their belts out to make more money. That's what happened.
Yeah. And they weren't going to abolish those belts without receiving that last sanctioning fee. Belts exist. Those champions still remain. So you need to have them fight each other so that the situation rectifies itself. And at the same time, they collect some checks. Listen, Too Tough, let me get to some other callers. We're trying to keep it short. But you did bring up something that is going to make MD very happy. Boxing MD, he said that the WBA is talking about cleaning up. Not only are they talking about cleaning up and consolidating their titles, but they're also talking about cleaning up the sport. They're very happy with what is going on with VADA. They applaud, VADA and WBC for the clean boxing program, and they are now going to start seeking a way to involve the WBA with VADA. So let's see when that does happen. But you know, obviously, you can head on over to that interview with Lightners to hear it.
And I don't think the WBA would pay any attention to that if the public wasn't bringing that up over and over again.
Agreed, agreed. Let's go out to the Skype machine. We're going to go all the way to Australia to get his thoughts on this. Alex, talk to us.
Yo, boys, what's going on? I really like the idea of the fight. The only thing I don't like is that I've always had this opinion, kind of the same opinion Ness has of Lomachenko, where he thought he was just too green for Salido and he thought he was too green for Walters. I've got that opinion of Joshua. I think he's just a little bit too green for the Furies, the Klitschko's, and the Ortizes right now. I think Klitschko's going to beat him in this fight. I just think Klitschko's got too much left in the tank, but I really like what's going on, how they're mandating these big fights now.
Alex, let me ask you a question. Who would be, just, you know, given your, preferred trajectory of Joshua's career, who would be that in-between fight? Because the heavyweight division is, like, you know, we've talked about it many times. It's not as deep as, let's say, 126 pounds.
That's exactly the problem. See, my point is that I think Joshua's a level above the rest of them, and he'll just make anyone look ridiculously bad out of those top four heavyweights. But I just think he's just a little bit too green right now for those top four heavyweights. It's really hard to say because I think he is kind of at that top level, but he's just lingering just underneath there right now. So it's very hard to say. I don't think there is really anyone he can fight that he wouldn't knock out, that wouldn't be those people. And even then, he's probably got a good shot.
What about someone like Parker?
I think Parker's really disappointed me the past couple of fights. I think Joshua schools him too.
Well, I would say that Parker is better than anybody who AJ's fought so far.
Yeah, definitely. But would you say he's got a good shot against AJ? Like a solid chance?
Well, that's the thing. I would favor AJ, but this is why I kind of disagree with what you're saying, because I think that we don't know what's going to happen with Klitschko, and Klitschko still is a legend and a huge name, especially in the more Western part of Europe. Eastern part of Europe, I'm sorry. And that the opportunity is there for now. And if, you know, it's a big risk, but it's also a extremely high reward, because if he beats, a lot of people are being critical of AJ's opposition. There's a lot of haters out there, but at the end of the day, what the fuck can you say negative about AJ if he beats Klitschko? And I know people will be detracting and saying Klitschko's old, but like, I think that will be really disrespectful if you don't give AJ this due credit for beating Klitschko.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. I feel if he beats him, he's not going to get the credit he deserves. I think people are going to say Klitschko's old, but I think he deserves the utmost credit. So it's my call.
Listen, Ness, Alex, who always disagrees with me, we agreed.
Yeah, I see. But everyone is going to like this. Listen, the heavyweight division has been a division that we've forgotten about for so long because Klitschko was so dominant. And now when Fury shook things up, it took a year for it to get exciting because it needed, you know, Fury to relinquish those titles and to add a little bit of excitement to the division by sprinkling a little bit of, you know, titles throughout the globe, right? I mean, now we have one all the way in New Zealand. We have one all the way in the United Kingdom. We have one all the way in the United States and Alabama. And who is the last champ? Somebody has two? Who are we missing? WBO, right? Who's the WBO champ?
Is it Parker?
Yeah, that is Parker.
Yeah. And can I remind you guys again to please hit thumbs up. It's, you know, we mentioned Wilder. We may be doing something with Wilder later today. And there's a lot of other news. And we have a special a guest possibly later this evening. So,
yeah, well, actually, the guests have all been moved to Thursday's show. It's going to be a jam-packed, amazing show. Get your popcorns. Get your beer ready. We're going to have a battle royale. Gennady Golovkin versus Daniel Jacobs. The trainers face off. We'll have Abel Sanchez in the red corner. We'll have Andre Rozier, the trainer of Daniel Jacobs, in the blue corner. And then as a surprise guest for all our TBV listeners out there, shout out to our Patreons. Without you, this is impossible. Mikey Garcia coming in late night around 10 p.m. Eastern time. So for my West Coast cats, you guys are going to love it. And, you know, UK, you catch it in the morning, baby. Listen, we're going to jump out to these phone lines. Got a lot of people out here. We're going to go to 413. Remember, that is the lineup for Thursday's show. But if you followed us on Patreon, support us there for extra content, you'd already know because we let them know days ago. 413.
MD, what's good, kid? Yes, MD, what's good, man?
What up?
What's up? Who's this?
Can you hear me? Yo, this is Fish from the Ring Rust Boxing Podcast. And, I just wanted to throw a huge thank you to you guys because you guys actually inspired me and my partner to start a boxing podcast that is a lot smaller than you guys, but we're having a lot of fun doing it. And you guys are an inspiration. So everybody should definitely like everything you guys put out.
Man, thanks, brother. But this is your first time calling in? I mean, you obviously listen and watch the sport, right? Give us your take on this breaking news.
Yeah, so what I got is I kind of got like a little statement here, and then I got 3 points and a question I'm going to throw out to you guys. First off, the unifications are huge. They're going to help the sport anyways. And the end of 2016, it's setting up huge for 2017. So bigger fights, obviously, mean bigger buy rates and more casual viewers pay attention. So my thing with this particular fight is I think Klitschko is completely overrated personally. He holds a lot. He's not called. If he's called for his holding, we're not even talking about Vladimir Klitschko in his fight against Sam Peter, because in that case, he would have lost that fight hands down. He's got a glass jaw. He's definitely different without Emmanuel Stewart in his corner. I just think whenever these older contenders come in, I think it's scary because in the case they win, I feel like it's bad for boxing. I think it's like a vacancy waiting to happen. That's my first point. Second point, the heavyweight division, as MD said, let's face it, the only super fight here is Joshua Wilder. And other than that, no disrespect to Parker, but other than that, it's a bunch of contenders. As far as I'm concerned, just not too long ago, we were really anticipating a Fury Wilder thing going on, and knowing that it wasn't going to happen because the deal just wasn't gonna make sense. So where I'm at right now, and this is just my way of thinking. You guys don't think that Ortiz versus Joshua, in the case Joshua beats Klitschko, you don't think that's a better fight than Joshua Klitschko? Because to me, Ortiz has that one-punch knockout power similar that Joshua has. And you just see utter concern in people's face when Ortiz lands a clear shot on them. So to me, I think that's a better fight than the Klitschko fight.
Better in terms of what? In terms of markability?
Definitely not markability, but I would say in terms of in-ring action, because I feel like you don't know where it's going to come from. It could come from either one of those two guys in that
particular
fight. As opposed to the Klitschko fight. My fear is that in the Klitschko fight, it's going to be a big hoorah, right? They're going to sell all these tickets, and it's going to be this, and it's going to be that. And what you're going to get is Klitschko jab and then clinching until AJ finally maybe gets a few shots in there. Then last job, Klitschko is going to wobble around and end up getting knocked out. That's what's going to happen.
So listen,
Ortiz is a little more tested. A knockout punch could come from either side. I like the Ortiz-Joshua scenario so much more than Klitschko.
Listen, I hear exactly what you're saying, but the Andrade fight I think would be better than the Canelo-Chavez Jr. fight. So I think that we also have to understand. And it may be – I think it's not a bad fight just because even if Klitschko's older, he still has power. And we'll always – a guy with that type of power, especially since we've seen AJ hurt. I know it was a long time ago, but AJ has to be aware of it. So no matter what, I think it's a decent fight. And if it's going to be a bad fight, that means that Klitschko gets knocked out. So I hear what you're saying, but I think that the right thing is happening at the right time, in my opinion.
But who has Klitschko beat? Because he was champion during the same type of period that Bernard Hopkins was middleweight champion of the world. Until he fought Trinidad, he didn't really take off. Klitschko fought a bunch of paper people that were tailor picked for him, and his style was just, it was just boring. And to me, and you're talking power, and yeah, he can wear a guy down with his jab.
I think Pulev is better than anybody AJ's fought, and he destroyed him.
And what about juiced up Povetkin? If he's been juicing that long, and Vladimir fought him. I mean, listen, Vladimir has given everyone that all the other heavyweights have fought, Vladimir beat them first. But listen, I want to make sure I got your name right. You said Rick, right?
No, Fish.
Oh, Fish from the Ring Rust podcast?
Ring Rust Boxing Podcast, yeah.
Sweet.
And, yo, any pointers and support you guys would give us, you guys are like our mentors, so anything you can give us is huge. We're just really starting out and trying to get to your level, bro.
For sure, man. I mean, definitely follow us on social media, and we could obviously converse there more privately. But I definitely want to, you know, keep your number down so that we could always introduce you and you could get that plug every time you do call in. You'll be introduced as Rick from the Ring Rust Boxing Podcast. Rick, thank you for calling in. I'm going to get to some other callers. Looks like we got one of our Patreon boomerangs, so we're going to have to skip the line and go to him really quick. Alumni as well. So don't hate, congratulate, you know what I mean? Get your Patreon on. Come on, compa, you making me look bad. Where my gun at?
Yeah, I also don't. I totally forget too.
5-1.
Well, I also forget too. It's like you also gotta give Wilder a lot of credit. I mean, not Wilder, Klitschko a lot of credit for how easily he beat David Haye. I mean, come on. Like I don't like the Klitschko disrespect. It's not his fault that a lot of people don't choose to box anymore that are that size.
Klitschko, like I said to Rick. I mean, shit, Fish. He's got everyone else. Would wish they had the resume that Klitschko has. Like, he's beaten all the guys that these fighters need to fight. Like,
he's fought 1 through 5 for 10 years.
Look, like, out of his resume, I could pick live bodies out of his resume right now that I would like to see Joshua with, that I would like to see Deontay Wilder with, that I would like to see Parker. And look, out of his resume, I could say, obviously, now with the Povetkin situation happening, you know, it's iffy how people may feel, but that's one name. Jennings versus all those guys is another name. David Haye versus all those guys is another name. Fury versus all those guys is another name. Maurice Vaak versus all those guys because he's so tall. Not because he's good. He's been in there with now Klitschko and Povetkin, so to see them in there with all these other guys would be another name. So, listen, Klitschko's resume is serious. To say, who do you fight? Nah. Fish got to get that right. Let's go to 202 again. Talk to me.
Yo, what's good, y'all? Great morning show, as usual, man. Man, they got it right.
They got it right. WA has gotten it right trying to constrict these titles. I think putting Ortiz as the mandatory is perfect. It gives them time to fight some of those live bodies that are out there and eliminate some people or find out if Ortiz has got old and overnight with that long layoff before he got with Eddie Hearn. I mean, yeah, so and Hearn is doing it right, too. He has 2 out of 3 chances to control the best heavyweight by pitting them in this way. They're going to sharpen. The iron's going to sharpen the other iron, and he's going to get an exceptional chance with Joshua that he can ride it out for, like, the next 10 years. Or he's going to get a chance that he can roll with for 3 or 4 years with Ortiz. If Ortiz comes out as the winner of those fights, I mean, it is what it is. I don't question Vladimir's resume like Fish did at all. I mean, whoever was you have to remember, he beat the best of whomever was fighting at heavyweight at the time. And he definitely rocked 1 through 5 all the time. They just wasn't a strong division, but Vladimir fought them one way or the other. But again, we go back to the point is that Joshua is going to hit Vladimir at some point. And we know that Vladimir, when he gets hit by a good fighter, his body reacts the same way it did with Leymon Brewster, the same way it did with Corey Sanders, the same way it's going to react with Joshua hits him. It is a passing of the guard. It is a necessary fight, right? But shout out to the WBA president, and hopefully they adopt VADA testing like WBC has done and constrict these titles. And then something that was saying earlier when we were talking, what you all were talking about, is the MD. A lot of times these titles, what had been happening was that people would get, or they would ascend to the number one contender, and they would be totally avoided, sidestep money. And so the number one contender and their people used to get impatient, so they created these interim and these regular titles to pacify them so that these fighters, once they got to be champion, got chances to make bigger fights supposedly against other people, even if they weren't champion, you know, even if they weren't in that ranking, even if they were more unifications and other stuff, because then you at least got the kind of allure that you had some type of belt holder. But the thing about the heavyweight that always had made it in a desirable division was because, like you all said earlier, when you see 147-pound dudes fighting, you know, if you like 180, you look at it like, man, them dudes can't do nothing with me. I don't care what they are. But the general consensus when we were younger was that the heavyweight champion could beat everybody in the world. Anybody who can fight the heavyweight champion can beat him. And so that was the awe that you looked at the heavyweight champion like, he can beat my daddy. You know what I'm saying? He'll knock my daddy out. So, you know, to kind of have some good heavyweight, some, you know, some seem like some serious heavyweights. You know, Joshua seems serious, man. Ortiz seems serious. You know, Parker.
Hey, Marcus,
can pass some of these goons.
Let me interrupt here because you said something that kind of hit me and made me remember something from the Mendoza interview. I am going to get to some other callers, but food for thought on your topic. MD, Mendoza was explaining as to why the WBA in the past or actually present day has so many different versions of their title. So what he was saying was, that in the past, when, you know, they needed to do that so that the champion didn't always have to be forced into a mandatory after mandatory after mandatory. So if we have it the way that us fight fans want, where it's one belt, one champion, what happens to that champion, right? Like, I mean, his career doesn't last, right? I mean, because it's like, pick a division. Right. For instance, if it was that way right now, Joshua would have to face Klitschko, beat Klitschko, face Ortiz, beat Louis Ortiz, beat Wilder. I mean, all one behind the other. Is that possible?
I hear his explanation, but I think that the best solution would be that each belt has one organization. You get voluntaries, which is, I guess, between 1 and 2. The voluntaries could be used for a unification bout with one of the other 4 recognized belts, right? Or that could also, I guess, leapfrog a mandatory. Those are the only exceptions. Now it's the best solution. I don't like his explanation for having all those belts, because then it just makes it an entire mess. And then people are called world champions when they're not world champions. So that is the only viable solution. Now, when you got two or three multiple belts, you essentially just become that, become that mandatories for both organizations. But it's almost like, I mean, this is why I hate to say this, but this is why the UFC with the singular champion is better, because we could call the 155 pound champion in the UFC the world champion.
I'm asking you. You're not answering. If we had one champion, how do we solve that issue where the champion is consistently facing the next possible contender?
We give them. Well, if we have one champion, you're saying heavyweight champion of the world, one of them, right?
Yeah.
We have mandatories, and then we give them one or two voluntaries, which gives them the ability to fight someone who's not number two. So
essentially, you want to see him fight one tough fight, one soft fight, one tough fight, three fights a year.
Yeah, I'm okay. Listen, if every other fight, based on what is happening in boxing today, right, where guys are fighting three or four guys before they fight a tough guy, if you're going one for one, I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay with that.
Let's get out to these callers here. We got 701. You're looking like a first-time caller. Who's this? Where are you calling in from?
Yes. Hey, this is Jay. I'm calling from Milwaukee. I'm calling from Fargo, North Dakota, man. I appreciate you doing this. I've been listening to you guys for a while.
What's the temperature outside, man?
I am a first-time caller.
And you said North Dakota?
Hello?
Fargo.
Yeah.
What's the temperature outside right now?
Yeah, man, it's cold as hell up here.
So, Jay, you've been listening for a while. Jay, one moment. You've been listening for a while, so you know we got to give you this first-time caller intro. You're going to have to introduce yourself. Give me a little more enthusiasm than that, but I'm glad that you finally called in, brother. We've been waiting for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut.
I've been in sports for a while, man. I've been just looking at boxing for a while since Tyson and Holyfield and Lennox Lewis. But, you know what I'm saying? I just played basketball and football for a while, but from Moorhead State, Minnesota State, Moorhead, D2, little small D2 college in Moorhead, Minnesota. But, you know what I'm saying? I've been watching boxers for a while, man. all the weight classes. But, my weight class is heavyweight. I'm really into the heavyweight. I've never been a casual fan, a fair weather fan. You know, some people they'll tune into the welterweights, or you know what I'm saying, not the cruiserweights, but the 154. I believe that's the super welterweights. But you know, I like watching the heavyweights. I always been into the heavyweights. Even when during the Klitschko era, I was still tuning in. So I like that y'all, you know, cover all the weights. But since you guys are talking about the WBA ruling on the Klitschko and Joshua fighting, and Ortiz have to fight the winner, I tuned in right away. so
talk to us, man. Tell us, what do you think? How does Joshua do? Excuse me, not Joshua. How does Luis Ortiz do versus either man? Because regardless of who wins, he gets the shot.
I think he does very well. I like Ortiz, man. But the thing that gets me is that, let's go back. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I know you got to keep it moving. But let's go back to what everybody keeps saying about Klitschko, that he's getting older and, you know, he's not pulling the trigger as much as he used to. Everybody, cut the crap, okay? Klitschko been the same Klitschko for 10, 15 years. I don't care what anybody say. I'm not trying to down the man or talk bad about his resume, anything like that. I feel like, man, Klitschko is, he's a good fighter. But at the same time, everybody, let's calm down a minute. I don't believe in a fighter gets gets old overnight. He just fought a bigger guy with skills, which is Fury. And I said this 10, 15 years ago. I said he fight a guy who got some heart and know how to punch and who knows how to take a punch is going to give Klitschko fits. Vlad is not like Vitaly. Let's be honest. And I feel like I get most respect to Vitaly. Vlad, on the other hand, like I said, he's a good fighter. He did what he had to do. He beat the guys who they put in.
Yeah, let me just ask you one question because this is your first time, so I just want to hear, your quick take on this. Were you disappointed since you said you played football, with the, career ending of Seth Mitchell, because, he's a former football player as well?
Mm-hmm.
Was that someone who you kind of had hope for because, he played football and he boxed, or you just always knew that he just kind of was limited?
I knew he was limited. I just knew he was limited. He had a spark when he started, but I was rooting for him. He just didn't have no chance. keep it honest. He didn't have no chin. He had good power. I mean, he could have, one punch, he could have knocked out any heavyweight. But I just felt like he started too late. Going right into, from football, going to another sport such as boxing, that's tough. I'm not saying it can't be done, but it's tough.
It sure is, man. I remember that career of Seth Mitchell, man. He was pretty hot on the rise. Listen, you said it's Jay, right? I want to make sure that's right. Jay from North Dakota, right?
Yeah.
All right, J-Man. Thank you for calling in, brother. We're going to keep it moving. We got a couple other callers, but make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel or to us on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Blog Talk, because we're going to be doing some more shows. We've been doing a lot of TBV in the morning. You don't want to miss an episode going right down the line.
And let's not mention one thing, that this is why, that when we look back upon it, that Sergio Martinez's career is phenomenally successful. Because he was a cyclist and a soccer player. And then he became a great middleweight at the time, Injuries ended his career, but, a great champion.
For sure, for sure. Let's see. Going down the line. We're going to try back with our Patreon. Compa, you ready this time? 951.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Les.
Yo, Compa, what up? You in traffic?
Shit, my bad, Nessa. Nah, shit, my bad, man. I'm right here at work. I just want to say, though, we're talking about that Klitschko fight. That's good that the WBA gave Luis Ortiz the mandatory. That's badass. And whoever wins beats him. I think if Klitschko wins, he'll beat Ortiz. And I think if Joshua went to beat Ortiz, hey, but good looking out, Boxing Boys. Good looking out with the shows. Everybody, Patreon, subscribe. Good looking out.
All right, Compa. Thanks for calling in. We're going to go to, let me see, the 904. You're up.
Hello? What's up?
904. Who's this?
This is Jamar.
Jamar, where you calling in from?
Jacksonville,
Florida.
Yeah.
What's going on? I know you called in before, but we don't got our producer early in the morning, man. But how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Just chilling, watching some highlight bits.
Cool. So what do you think about this WBA ruling that Luis Ortiz is now the mandatory for the winner of Vladimir Klitschko versus Anthony Joshua?
I think it's great. I think, I was actually saying this to myself. I was thinking, they should do this for, every division, because I think there is I think there was a time when they constantly did that. Like if, say, for example, if Kell Brooks and Errol Spence were to fight each other, then the winner would have to face, like, Keith Thurman or something like Danny Garcia would fight somebody like Bradley. Then he would have to fight, like, Errol Spence or something like that. That would be – that's a good addition. I feel like they should do that with everybody. Luis Ortiz, he has the skills to be heavyweight champ. And, like, Joshua – I feel like Joshua, if he beats like two like very good fighters in a row, then like he's like on a very like fast route to being like undisputed champ. Like that's if he keeps his hair, right? He stays motivated. He's not damaging his work ethic. But I don't know. Yeah, like I'm trying to figure out what I should bet on fights because I lost some. Lost a whole bunch of money, like a month ago. I think I told you guys I lost the money on the what was it? Julian Jackson fight.
On which fight?
Julian Jackson.
I'm sorry, Julian Williams. Julian Williams.
Oh, you put money on Williams?
I thought he was gonna out. Yeah, I bet money. I'm not gonna lie. I like Charlo, and like to be honest, like. In this era, I always see the punches like Vladimir Klitschko.
What was the line? What did you get the line at for that fight?
It was even, right? Very close odds, right?
Yeah.
For Williams.
To be honest, like I had picked Williams to outbox. I like Jamal Charlo, but I feel like he was going to get like a little lackadaisical. He was just going to stand there and take a little shot he didn't need to take. But he's such a big middleweight, and as soon as he got hit, I think he got knocked down like with a jab. He was just out of there, so it was really hard because I didn't. If you look at Julian Williams' fights, he never really been in there like a severe puncher, so you can never really tell where his chin was at.
Let me just ask. He asked a betting question.
We got a lot of callers here, and we got to switch that back to the original subject, Jamal. I want to thank.
Yeah, but let me just ask the interest question real quick. This is quick. I just the rule of thumb for betting is if you have any emotional investment in a fighter, do not bet on him, because I think that skews money and you don't want to get the last, you know, money doesn't have emotions, right? So that's like the key, right? So I would never advise Ness to put money on Danny Garcia.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put money on Garcia either, but I'll tell you one thing, putting money on Garcia versus Thurman.
Mm-hmm.
He's 2-1.
I'm warning you not to.
2-1.
About, yep.
Yeah. That's a good bet. What's that? 50 makes you 150 or 100?
100.
All right. That's enough. I know one guy that's going to put some money on Danny, but we ain't even talk about that this show. He going to put some money on Luis Ortiz.
I told y'all a long time ago.
Kirkland will go down 3 rounds. Next, I got milk. Yeah, it's the milkman. All the way from the ATL, Patreon, subscribe. Good morning, fella.
Good morning, milkman. What's going on, brother?
Man, nothing much. You know, I think it's good, man. We get these mandatory fights. You know, MD had a good suggestion, man, as far as having one belt for each division and a way to make sure everybody gets a fair shake without running the champion rugged. I think it's a good idea, but also. You know, I've always wanted to see how boxing would look if there was, like, one governing body, like the NFL, right? I don't know if you guys ever played Fight Night, but it's a boxing game. But, you know, when you create a man and he starts fighting, you can only fight the guys who are, like, two or three or four levels above you. And that's the way you work your way to the top. And then once you win, you get the belt, and you can choose the guys who are in the top 10, and it all kind of rotates. So I think that would be a good process to put in place, man. That way we would always have top guys fighting top guys.
And then we would have to accept, we would have to change our perception and how we view fighters' records, because what boxing does better than I think UFC at least has been doing is at the lowest level, they know how to build fighters and build stars like Canelo Alvarez, like Anthony Joshua, because they fight opponents to build a record, to make them look, you know, to have a highlight reel. I think it's difficult to make because in the UFC, the second you make the UFC, you're, and yes, I know this bothers you, UFC word, you're in lines then, and you got to fight the best, and guys lose. Like Rory McDonald, who's a UFC fighter, was young and he was fighting guys. I know this is a bad example, but he was fighting guys who at that time he shouldn't have been fighting, and he lost because of that. So it's a difficult balancing act. I agree.
That way, man, it would really help fighters who are avoided. You know, the Andre, the Paul Williams, the Winky Wright, all these guys who are really good fighters, but because they are difficult to fight, they usually can't get a damn shot until later in their career. So, you know, just food for thought on this lovely morning, man. So that's my call. Y'all have a good one.
You too, man.
Milkman, thanks for calling in as always. 718, talk to us.
Ness, what's going on? It's Paul Yearwood.
Paul, what up? Another Patreon. There you go.
What's happening? Hey, Patreon in the building. Hey, I wanted to call just to talk on some Klitschko and Joshua. I called in late, so I don't know all the questions, but I'll answer to the best of my ability. As far as this fight goes, I believe it's going to be a Joshua night. But, of course, Klitschko's a, you know, experienced champion. He's going to go in there and fight like one. I believe he's going to keep Joshua at the end of that jab, and it might be a boring night. I'm not going to lie. It might be. But I believe Joshua pulls it out just because of activity. That's what Klitschko showed to me. But as far as the Luis Ortiz thing goes, I think he's a game fighter for both of those guys. Joshua is going to show us what he's really proven, you know, what he's really about in the Klitschko fight. But I think a young guy like Luis Ortiz will bring the fight to him, won't be scared, and, you know, won't be gun shy. And he has, you know, the Cuban boxing, you know, the Cuban boxing pedigree, which is, you know, most of it is defense first, but I believe he knows he's an offensive fighter, but I believe he knows his defense as well. He just hasn't had to show it. He got Malik Scott running from him. David Allen was, you know, really defensive in his fight. And that's just his last few fights. But, you know, I believe he can – he's not going to beat Joshua, in my opinion, but he's going to be game, and he's going to bring – he's going to have a – Joshua's going to be in a real fight in that one, I believe. It's going to be a better fight than the Klitschko, in my opinion. And that's all I got right now, guys. Keep doing these morning shows. I fuck with these heavy, man. Y'all can – and to all the other fans that don't know or ain't aware yet, you'll never miss a morning show when you're on Patreon, son. So go subscribe. Subscribe to that YouTube. Press that bell. Do all you got to do, guys. I'm at work. I'm going to be out of here. Y'all be good.
All right, Paul. Well, thank you again for all the support. Thank you for calling in, as always. We're going to go to 908. I want to believe it's Amin, right?
Yes, yes, yes. What's good, fellas?
What's going on, brother?
So listen, if Joshua and Klitschko fight, which I think is going to be a very good fight, who the hell does Deontay Wilder supposed to fight in the meantime?
Well, like he said, if you subscribe to Patreon, you'll know. But we got something cooking in the oven, man. And we're going to bring you guys some details on some Wilder news.
All right, quick question on that Patreon, Ness. Should I, and this, just go over it as quick as you need. What up, MD? Do I need to, should I still send the PayPal and then do the Patreon, or should I just switch it over to Patreon?
Switch it over. Just switch it over.
Okay. Because, I do PayPal. It's under my government, though. You know what I mean? So I'm going to just switch everything over.
Yeah, just switch it over. This way you receive the benefits of everything that's going on, you know? All right, well, I'm going to keep it going then. 816, you're up.
Yo, 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 can you hear me? Am I live?
You are live. Who is this?
What's up, man? It's the Boxingologist, man.
The Boxingologist. What's going on?
Man, what's going on, man? Seems like the heavyweight division, man, is really about to take off in 2017, man. I'm excited, man. I mean, this is what boxing needs, man. The heavyweight division seems like it's been dormant for a while, man. And, you know, we gotta give a shout out to Joshua's his promoter, man. I mean, this dude, he's making moves, man. Like, he's making serious moves in the heavyweight division, putting these fights together like that, man. You know, I mean, can you imagine, like, hello? Am I still on?
You sure are.
Okay. Can you imagine, like, if a Joshua were to KO a Klitschko and then turn around and knock out Ortiz and make a big mega fight with Wilder and knock him out? And it'll be 100% with knockouts, dude. Like, he would have to go in the conversation.
Ness did.
Never live, man. Like,
he would be the new Mike Tyson if he did something like that.
Even more than that, Ness did mention before, and I don't, obviously, it's a little early to say this, but Ness said that he has the potential to become the first billionaire boxer, right? Did you say that, Ness?
Well, there was an article yesterday that I stumbled across that said that he has the potential to be the first billionaire boxer. I mean, you think about it. Like, if he sells with this Klitschko fight, let's just say, you know, for argument's sake, it's a little bit tight, but he still wins. They do a rematch, another 90, right? You know, then Luis Ortiz gets his mandatory, another 90. Wilder's going to have to come, another 90. Like, yo, he's going to be doing some big things.
The only issue that I have sometimes with – the heavyweights, and it's just longevity. So if he has the longevity, that's the real, you know, key, because sometimes your window is not that large in the sport of boxing, and sometimes it is. So that's really the question.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he's already made history. I mean, has it ever been another world champion who's had an undefeated 100% KO ratio inside of 20 fights that became a world champion? Is there another fighter that's done that?
I do not know.
I think Tyson was the youngest, but I think he's the youngest now, right?
Yeah. I'm saying he's the youngest, but at the same time, I'm talking about as far as record-wise, no other heavyweight fighter what has ever been like 100% KO ratio. Like, he has a perfect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, but he's still in his infancy. I mean, if he knocks out Klitschko. Yeah.
But I want to play devil's advocate, though, and I don't want to say this disrespectful. It's also arguable that he hasn't even fought a top 10 heavyweight yet.
Well, I mean.
Oh, come on, man. Come on.
Well, no. Man. How is that not arguable?
I mean, come on.
Well.
I mean, how is it, man? I mean, I'm.
Who's in the top 10 that he's fought?
You said what?
Oh, Boxologist, baby. You only get one round.
No, who's in the top?
Do a quick overhand right to steal the round.
Yeah, that's it. Listen, I think AJ, I might even pick AJ versus Klitschko. I have to think about it. But who in the top 10 has AJ fought?
Charles Martin was top 10.
You see that video with Charles Martin smoking weed? That was the.
Yo, what about Dominic Brazil? He was top 10.
Come on, Ness.
Yo, all right.
Duhamel's boy was fucking him up.
Yo, you can't steal this one from him. Dylan White.
Hey, man, Dylan White's maybe the best opponent that he's fought so far.
I've been dying to use that Ness soundbite. Let me get to 404. You're up. 404, you're live on TBV. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Chris from Atlanta.
Chris, what's going on? First time caller?
First time caller. Yeah, I've been peeping y'all show and decided to chime in.
this Joshua Klitschko fight. I think this is a real tricky one. You got Joshua, the up-and-comer, against Klitschko. You know, I was big on Tyson Fury. I think Tyson Fury, you know, he had the skills, he had the height, and he gave Klitschko a lot of issues. And so we just don't really know if Klitschko's shot or if that was just a bad matchup. So this fight right here, you know, I think Joshua and his team are just kind of, you know, throwing the dice on the table, seeing what comes up. So, you know, we'll just have to see what happens with that fight. But and you know, the winner of that fight taking on Ortiz, I think that's good. That's good. One thing I do want to talk about though is Deontay Wilder. I'm hearing he's fighting some Polish guy in February. I don't know. I was big on Wilder when he won the title, but we just ain't seen nothing from the guy in 2 years. You know, I think we keep talking about heavyweights over in Europe, but we got heavyweights right over here in the United States. We got Wilder, we got Washington, we got Brian Jennings, we got Jarrell Miller. I just wish that these guys would fight and bring some excitement to the division over here. So that's all I got to say about those fights and those issues.
You got Chris Areola?
I'm on.
What?
Repeat yourself, MD.
I said we got Chris Areola, who gets a shot at Wilder.
Chris, you there?
I'm here.
You don't hear me? Yes.
I hear you.
Oh, yeah.
I guess. All right, Chris. Well, thanks for calling.
What was your question?
Oh, all right. What's your question, MD? There he goes.
No, he was just mentioning all these guys, and it just mentioned that Wilder, his last opponent was Chris Areola. It was like supposed to be a joke, a jab at Wilder.
Oh,
that's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. It was a joke. Okay, I was thinking to myself, why Chris Areola? No, 2016 was just a big disappointment for Wilder. You know, it's
And he legitimately injured himself. So
yeah, but it was a disappointment in an attempt to try and satisfy the fight fans and remain busy, because the Areola fight only happened because Povetkin is a cheat.
Yes. And it was he slid him in there. I just sliding. And again, it's like sliding someone in there. I mean,
yeah, you wasted the money.
I wasn't happy. I was one second. I wasn't happy when they slid in Eric Molina, because I think Eric Molina is not on the level as AJ. Just like I thought Chris Areola wasn't on the level of AJ of Wilder, you know. But again, maybe it's purses, because Chris Areola wasn't paid peanuts. He's paid like $200,000 or some shit like that to fight a heavyweight.
Yeah. Well, Jay, I'm going to get to some other callers, but thank you for calling in. Listen, Jay, subscribe to the channel, because we're going to be doing a few other shows today, plus Thursday is our scheduled day, actually.
Join us every Thursday and Sunday live at 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
And while you're at it, you guys should be dropping an iTunes review.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
You know, yesterday I did about 4 miles, or close to 4 miles, on the elliptical or the cross trainer, whatever the thing is, whatever. It was definitely better on the knees than the running. But I listened to both of the shows that you and I did yesterday, and they were quite enjoyable and got me through my entire workout. So if you're like me and you use them, you know, maybe for your commute, maybe for your workouts on the treadmill, whatever, the bike, whatever it is, drop that 5-star review, because it helps with the visibility of the show. And since we're talking visibility, hit that thumbs up button if you're watching us on YouTube, because again, that's how we get new callers, like at least the 3 or 4 that we've gotten today alone. We're going to a block caller, probably long distance, all zeros. Talk to me. You're live on TBV. Who's this?
Hello. How you doing?
How you doing? Who's this?
It's James. First time caller.
James, you sound like you have an accent. You could benefit from calling us on Skype absolutely free, my friend. Just add Nestor Gibbs on Skype. But in the meantime, go ahead and talk to us.
Sure, yeah. I'm just calling in mainly about Joshua at the moment. I just watching the last few fights. Well, watching him from the Olympics onwards, really. Just very impressive. And I can just see him dominating moving forward. I just don't see anyone that's going to stand in his way. And I mean, a lot of people do talk about, you know, Dillian White being maybe the best he's faced. But, like, let's put it in perspective here. He's had 18 fights, and he's already making these steps up to Klitschko. And where was Wilder after 18 fights?
That is fair.
Wilder had 11 losses.
Listen, that is fair. But, again, can you answer this question? Who in the top 10 has AJ faced?
Yeah, but really, who in the top 10 has Wilder faced?
Listen, I'm just as critical about Wilder, so I just
he's definitely faced more top 10 fighters.
No, but like, it's, you know, don't answer a question with a question. Just answer the question, please, caller. Appreciate that.
Sure. Okay. I would say that you've got more fighters with Wilder who have fought, like, he's fought more top fighters rated by different governing bodies, but there are different governing bodies that you're acting with, so different people are ranked with different places. And so they've all got their own agendas. You know, you can't really look at a heavyweight and go, oh, well, he's, you know, who is Wilder going to face next? It's certainly not Klitschko, is it? You know? So you have to take it that he's only had this many fights. Come back when he's had the same amount of fights as Wilder, and we'll see who he's fought. And I guarantee it will be everybody. He just wants those fights. And it's nice to see that again.
That's fair. No, that's fair to say. That's fair to say. I understand where you're coming from that. And I guess just to say the thing about Wilder, I think when Wilder fought Stavern, I think it is fair to say that Stavern is in the top 10 heavyweight. That's a fair thing to say.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's going to have to win those fights because you're saying, you know, see him when he's at 30 fights. He's going to have to make it past those 30. There's a lot of interesting fights. Like we said, the show, the topic of the show is the WBA mandating. If he gets past Klitschko, he's got to face Ortiz. Now, I am one of those that think that if he gets past Klitschko, well, then he doesn't even have to worry about Ortiz. He should be able to get past Ortiz without any issues, I think.
Well, that's the great thing about heavyweights. You have to worry about absolutely everybody you get in the ring with. There is no easy night as a heavyweight. Who was it who knocked out Klitschko? You know.
Oh, no, AJ had an easy night against
that was it.
Charles Martin and last guy, Eric Molina.
Yeah, exactly. So, but where, you know, I see that where he breaks them down, he's got great movement for a guy his size. Like he just seems to shut the ring down like nobody else, like Tyson maybe, you know. And then when he gets on you, like these are great, you know. Molina gave Wilder fits for quite a few rounds. I think he staggered him as well, and that's because he skips leg day. But you know, Wilder just made him look hard, like a hard night's work, and it just wasn't the same fighter when he got in the ring with AJ. And you can say, oh, well, you know, it was jet lag, it was this, it was that. Well, you're in there with a champ, sort it out. And he just couldn't do it. He couldn't survive. And that's interesting to me because Joshua feels a bit like when I first watched Tyson, like he is to boxing what a shark is to killing. You know, he wants to harm them, and it's terrifying but beautiful at the same time.
Well, James, I got to get to some other callers. We are wrapping up the show, but I will tell you this. Everyone looks like a shark when they're feasting on guppies. But don't waste your money, my friend. You need to be calling us in on Skype by adding Nestor Gibbs on Skype. It's international. You can call us for free. And, you know, you don't have to waste your money or your calling card.
Who was the guy that Wilder knocked out that he made have a seizure?
Isn't that Spielka? Spielka's a knockout of the year.
I'm talking about before Wilder was
world. That's a knockout of the year candidate for sure.
I'm talking about before he was world champion.
Lajkovic?
Yeah, Lajkovic.
Uh-oh. Let's get to Anonymous. Talk to me. All right, we got one last caller on Skype. Talk to me.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hello? Can you hear me?
We hear you. Where are you calling from?
60 seconds.
Yes, the UK.
And your name?
Yeah, it's Craig.
Talk to us, Craig. You're live on the radio.
Yeah, just going back to the fight.
that might happen with Joshua and Klitschko. I believe AJ is going to win that.
Hey, Craig, turn your computer or radio down in the background so that you don't get a feedback, because we're hearing the radio play in the background. All right, my friend?
Is that better?
Sure is.
Yeah. Yes, I believe that AJ is going to beat Klitschko, definitely. And I think he'll also knock out Luis Ortiz. Luis Ortiz looked quite poor in his last two fights. So, yeah.
10 seconds.
Now, what about the fact that the WBA is mandating that Luis Ortiz be the mandatory? So just because you think he looked poor, he has no shot? I mean, the last caller felt like every heavyweight needs to be, I guess, taken into consideration because of the power.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he's the opposition he faced was before Malik Scott was quite poor. So I think it just made him look good. I don't know. That's what I think. But, yeah.
Well, all right, Craig, man, thank you for calling in. Definitely subscribe to the channel, brother, because we're going to be talking some more heavyweights. We will be back with some more breaking news, maybe a little bit of Wilder, maybe a little more sexier names. I don't know if you're watching this in the future, present, or past, hit that thumbs up button, because that is a way that you tell the people over here that you are enjoying this content. Content which can be called TBV in the morning, something that we don't normally bring to you, but we have been working diligently to bring it to you over the last few weeks. So I am your host. Find me on Instagram and on Twitter at NessGTO. And you can find my good host here, the good doctor, at
BoxingMD1N. If you guys, again, hit thumbs up before the end of the show, before we stop right now, it'll give us more of an incentive to come on very soon to do something on what was kind of teased with some of the other callers, which it seems like Wilder's next opponent, guess his first fight after that horrific arm injury has been rumored and seems to be legitimate. Not legitimate in the sense that he's a opponent to challenge him, but legitimate in the sense that it will be his next fight.
Probably. Yeah, it doesn't seem to be a name that people would be excited about, to say the least. But like Boxing MD said, man, let the thumbs up indicate that that is what you want. You want to see more TBV. We'll be back with a little afternoon special. So something you can listen to while you're having your lunch. So once again, follow us on all forms of social media at The Boxing Voice. And make sure you subscribe.